why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Oh, I've been on the record as saying that what we don't want in the state of Florida is to have a digital AI surveillance state where everything we're doing is being tracked at all times.
Well, yeah, I mean, we get that, okay, sure, but...
Do I think that LPRs can be useful? Well, the state uses it for, like, toll by plate, but that's a different situation than when you're using it for criminal penalties. So there's obviously times when I think it's probably been useful, but where is this data going? How much data is the companies doing? They claim that the companies aren't going to misuse it, but no one's watching that. And I know you can make some money selling cameras, but you really can make a lot of money if you can sell people's data. And that's what the legislature is going to need to address.
All right. So the governor yesterday speaking about sort of license plate readers, slot cameras, the use of them for digital surveillance, not wanting to live in a police state, a surveillance state, worried about who might own which data or sell it. Then he kind of went on a little bit of a side note in the speech. He had been asked, this is at the Q&A at the end. He wasn't there for this reason, but I think we've all learned by now that the most interesting stuff that usually happens in the press conferences for the governor are the Q&A. It's not so much the what they're really ostensibly there to talk about, but it's what he gets asked about and how he reacts to it. He kind of goes on this side discussion.
When I became governor, I made the choice, no text, no email, because partially it could be public record. I didn't want to have to be producing things and saving this, but part of it, I couldn't field all the communications I would get in a state of 23 plus million people. And so that's just how I've rolled. It's not always the most convenient, but honestly, I think I'm more efficient as a result. But
so that's just kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit of a side note, but interesting that he doesn't do emails or text messages as the governor. Okay. All right. Keep going.
But because I made that decision, it's hard for me to function and say, because they want to text you something or this or that or anything, just to do commerce, just to do normal things. You know, I've got to call my wife. Can you please do this for me and set this order? And so the notion that somehow you can just totally opt out of where society has gone, that's really not realistic for most people who are engaged in society.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why you might not want to have trackability. For him, it sounds like he did it primarily because of the public records and all the challenges that would create. But also, you know, I get it, you know, answering 100 texts. Every week I get a report on my phone that says, you know, which apps I use the most that week. Always it's the text messaging app. And by, like, a massive margin. You know, the next most used app I might have would be a couple of hours, typically, which I know these metrics are never fully reliable because it probably thinks that if my phone is open and that app is on that I'm watching, you know. But okay, let's just assume that the numbers are not super reliable, but they're sort of unreliable in the same way across all of the different things that it's measuring. So the unreliable numbers say that I use Facebook for 3 hours a week, or, you know, some game I like to play for 2 hours a week, and then, you know, messaging 10 hours a week. You know, it's always something like 10 or 11 hours. Like, I know I use messaging a lot, texting a lot, but I don't think I use it that much. Then again, maybe I do. Anyway, so an email, you know, how much you use. I actually hate email. Email is a when you must. You know, I get it. I actually understand why he would, you know, rather have a phone, just make a phone call to somebody, or I guess, I don't know, a letter. I'm not sure how the governor does his business, but in any case, he doesn't do texts or emails apparently, which is, I mean, I've never texted or emailed him, so I don't, you know, what do I know? But back to the conversation, he kind of pivoted away after having engaged in this soliloquy, I guess, about technology,
It was more of a monologue than a soliloquy as well. Thank you.
Okay, fair enough, Charles Baer. You're right. He was talking to the reporters. Okay.
So how much access do they have for their information? How's that being sold? All these different things. What are your protections from that? But here's the thing that on the flock, and look, a lot of our law enforcement that have used it at the local and county level, I think are using it to focus on criminal. I don't think it's their intent to do general surveillance.
Which, you know, of course, none of us do think that the, you know, local sheriffs or the police chiefs or anybody else is really doing surveillance of the sort that you would object to with it. But the problem is the flock cameras create that opportunity. And the worry is not so much what they are doing, but what they could do. Or what somebody else could do with the gathering of information, the massive harvesting of basically your movements, right? Now, the criminals' movements too. The problem is that in order to get the criminals' movements, they're gathering everybody's movements. And we've talked about this extensively, but, you know, never hurts to kind of reset the framework. You would want the government to be able to gather the villain their texts. You would want them to be able to gather the villain's phone calls. You would want them to be able to gather the villain's emails, right? Even their web searches, because you want to know what they're doing and where they're going and who they're sharing with. You want to catch all the bad guys, and you want to get them before they do the crime if you can, because you find, you know, incriminating information that they're intending to do something. That would be ideal. But in order to do that, you're not willing to offer that the government would be able to collect and harvest everybody's texts and everybody's phone calls and everybody's choices on the internet, right? You don't want the government to be able to look into what everybody is doing, even if the benefit of doing that would be that they would be able to get what the criminals are doing and even to stop them in the crime, because we believe that that would be a level of intrusion into our privacy that would not only violate the Fourth Amendment, but would violate the spirit of freedom in this government, in this system of government that we call the United States of America. Okay, so same thing with the license plate harvesting of information. It's a little different than surfing the web on your laptop or your phone, because it's done in public under the auspices of state regulation through a licensing system where you have a driver's license, your car has permission to be on the road from a license plate. You know, there's all kinds of elements of this that are government, but still, the notion is it's basically tracking your movements. And anybody can find out where at least your car has been, which presumably is where you have been, at any period of time based on querying the database for that information. Well, collectively as a society, we've never really had the question asked to us, are we willing to take that trade? Are we willing to stop those crimes by giving up this ability to travel without having the information be knowable to anybody unless they've got a warrant or they're tracking us personally, right? Okay, so that's where we are with LPRs. That's where we are with flock cameras. And as the governor is saying, you know, I have questions about this. And not just questions, but even though good law enforcement uses it, what are the misuses potential?
I will tell you, if we had all this around the country when COVID happened, you absolutely would have saw those turned on people who were outside of lockdown orders in California that were, oh, you didn't take your vax, you can't go here, you can't travel. I mean, if you look at polling during that period of time.
Yeah, that's a great point that, you know, this in recent memory would have been abused by some people to enforce rules that a lot of people disagreed with. And so if you can not just create a lockdown, but you can actually see which cars are out driving around during lockdown. You know, in Florida, of course, we didn't have this quite the same way. It's easy to forget that some states were really ferocious in their lockdowns. Florida was temporary, short, light, and then didn't really even have them at all for a long time. You know, whenever the world was shut down and Florida was operating, and if you lived here through it, you know, I always hear those people, I suffered through lockdown. How so? Couldn't go out. Really? You mean you didn't have to go to work? Yeah. Did you get paid? Sure did. Must have been rough. I mean, it is. It's rough in a different way. I worked through the lockdown. PJ worked. Well, actually, PJ, were you living in Florida during COVID? You weren't yet, right?
I was not.
You were not.
But I did work during lockdown.
See, I mean, you know, depending in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, some people suffered by being forced to not work, and some people just suffer the normal world of work. And anyway, the assumption that everybody did a certain way is not correct. But back to the point, Lockdown COVID would have certainly had opportunities to follow people and see what they were doing and use that against them if this system had been in place then the way it is now.
So when you're dealing with this as a policymaker, you got to look, okay, how's it being used? I guarantee you every sheriff in Florida can point to examples where it's been used appropriately and probably effectively. And I have no doubt that that's the case. But you also have to say, okay, how could this be misused? And how could a private company misuse the data, but also law enforcement?
Right. And he's not right. And by the way, it's kind of interesting in this whole conversation. I don't get the feeling that DeSantis has had any conversations with, like, sheriffs or law enforcement, or organizations. He may have. I don't know. I'm just telling you myself, having talked to a lot about this with Sheriff Johnson, Sheriff Simmons, and Chief Winstrom, that he's not talking about it the way somebody, I think, would if you had talked to these cops. Because they are emphatic about the law enforcement value of it. And they talk in terms of murders and shootings and, you know, sexual assaults and stolen vehicles and missing children. And I don't know whether he's talking, but he's not talking about it that way. When I talk about the criticisms of Flock and my own concerns about this system, as I've had recently quite a lot, I'm always well aware, wide open eyes. I know that if we get rid of this system or severely restrict it, which is what I think the legislature is going to do next year, it's going to mean missing kids don't get found. It's going to mean that murders don't get solved. It's going to mean that stolen cars don't get returned or discovered. I fully understand that. And I understand that that is the same thing that we trade off when it comes to not surveilling everybody's web searches and not surveilling everybody's phone calls and not surveilling everybody's text messages and, reading their private messages and going into their homes without warrants. Every limit we put on law enforcement carries the benefit of protecting privacy for people who aren't doing crimes, which is almost everybody. But it also protects the privacy of the people who are doing crimes, and that means to some degree law enforcement doesn't solve these crimes, right? It doesn't either prevent them or punish them afterwards or whatever. And he says, he goes on. Again, this is a really interesting speech yesterday, but I get the sense that he didn't consult with anybody in law enforcement before giving it. He might not have changed his mind or anything different, but I'm telling you, I got that feel.
There was an officer in Florida who was using the LPR data to track like an ex-girlfriend or something like that. I don't think we have really strong penalties at all for that type of misuse.
And there are people lose jobs and do go to jail. So I'm not sure that's 100% accurate, but it is true. There have been occasional situations where people have misused the data for the wrong reasons.
I've called for legislation that will protect Floridians from allowing the state to turn in to some type of digital prison, digital surveillance state, where somebody knows everything about what you're doing every day of the week. If you want to get in your car and you want to go down to Bucky's in St. Augustine, it's really none of the government's damn business if you're doing that, right? Let's just be clear.
That's it. That's exactly right. And how do you make sure that it's not the government's business? You never give them the capability to create a database of information that they could even look into to give them that information. That's exactly right.
No one's given law enforcement more tools than we have, but they need to be targeted at criminals. I don't want things that are sweeping up just everyday citizens, and we're told, don't worry about it, no one's going to use it. Then come to find out some company, is harvesting that, and they can make a fortune. If they can create a dossier on your movements, they would be able to make a fortune in selling that to companies for advertising and for product placement and all these other things. And it's like, man, have we not had enough of that over these recent years?
Right. So he's worried not only about the tracking of your movements, but about the possibility that that information could then be sold to somebody else. And if that could be matched up with your online accounts or your phone number or, your Hulu subscription or God knows what, then certainly massive amounts of opportunity for advertisers to use that. Certainly also opportunity for criminals to use it. I mean, imagine what a criminal could do with your daily movements if they wanted to, right? But he's more talking about what the information means. And so as a result of all of this, FDOT actually issued a memo yesterday saying, you know, all of those license plate readers that you have in state on state roads and in rights of way. Like, I drive past the pair on Burgess near Confederate Sarah every day, twice. And they say in the state right of way, we gave you permission to do it because they own the access to the land and you don't have it anymore. We're taking it away. So you have 30 days to take down those cameras. The state issued an order yesterday that all state land, state roads, all the permissions for all of the license plate readers that have been put up on state roads, that would be Airport, that would be Pace, that would be, you know, Brent or Softly Field or, you know, all the 18 names that all of the roads that the state owns, you can't have license plate readers on anymore. As of yesterday, for up to, like 30 days, you have to take them down. So DeSantis made a move. A big move. This is, I don't know of any other state that's done this yet. I mean, I know there's been in New York, they had a vote. I know in New Hampshire, they've got some rules, but, the third largest state in the nation just banned flock cameras on state roads. You've got Duval County. They're taking them all down. You've got Okaloosa County. If I read it right, he's taking them all down. Obviously, I'm going to be talking with Chip Simmons this morning. I'll ask him what he plans to do because you could still have them on county roads, you know, in the city of Pensacola, you could still have them on city roads. But the big roads, you know, the runs where they're really effective is on the state roads because that's where the biggest volume of traffic is going. Doesn't do anything to the readers in the cars. But like I said, this is a major shift for us in the state of Florida. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
If you remember listening to this and this, then remember this, COVID hasn't gone away. And if you're an adult with conditions like diabetes, asthma, or heart disease, it can cause serious setbacks. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about the latest COVID vaccine. It's one of the best ways to help protect yourself. Find out more at PfizerForAll.com. Pfizer, outdo yesterday.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Bounty's the quicker picker-upper.
Tommy Shaw, you always had my heart. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have work to be done on the complicated systems inside your home, the plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical, generator, which of course is electrical, call Pete and they'll take care of you. Good quality people, good products, good installation, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the work. They are all over the Gulf Coast, so anywhere along the Gulf Coast, anywhere from Pensacola to Tallahassee to Fort Walton, Panama City is where they started in 1969 with air conditioning and then kind of grew from there all the way into Alabama in the last couple of years. Mobile County, Baldwin, they're there now. Also, one of the things that they want you thinking about is, you know, obviously when you have a problem, you will call somebody, call Peden. But sometimes you want to call before you have a problem, right? You understand the concept of having your air conditioning inspected, like in the spring, to make sure it's going to work right in the heat. Well, similarly with your plumbing, like you don't necessarily want to wait until something goes wrong. A better approach is to have it inspected to make sure nothing is going to go wrong. So you can have a smooth-running Peden plumbing check for $59 today and make sure that the plumbing isn't going to become a problem because, you know, once you see it, it's kind of bad, right? Peden, the pros you can trust. Find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com. Okay, so PJ asks a really good question. He says, what about the city red light cameras? Yeah. If I read this right, and I was just trying to check. I just can't remember. I thought Gregory was a state road. Sure enough, it is. Yeah, that's right. Is that right? I'm not so sure. All of a sudden I've said it. I think that it is because that's why FDOT's always involved in like the 14th Avenue stuff. Sure enough, yeah, that's 98. Okay. So Gregory is a state road. Fairfield's a state road. Davis is a state road. Airport, Brent are all state roads. If I read this correctly, and I may be wrong, I have to ask the mayor about this tomorrow, but if I read this correctly, all of the red light cameras are now invalid. Not because red light cameras are invalid, but because they're in state road right-of-ways. By the way, that would include Gulf Breeze. Oh, wow. See, remember, you know, sometimes you issue a directive and we're not quite sure how wide-ranging the directive is because maybe you didn't talk to enough people to do it. I can't say this for sure. I haven't checked with any of my folks, but I think that might be true. 30 days.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. While President Trump threatens Iran with more military strikes, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says he's ready to hit the regime's bank account.
The administration pointing to sanctions as a broader strategy to squeeze Iran economically. Iran's currency plunged to a record low in August, while annual inflation reached 66% in July.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan. A Vegas jury found Dwayne Kibidi Davis guilty of the 1996 murder of rapper Tupac Shakur.
After less than 3 hours of deliberations, a jury finding Dwayne Davis
guilty of first-degree murder with use of a deadly weapon.
Prosecutors say Davis, a former leader of the Compton Crips gang, orchestrated the 1996 fatal drive-by shooting of Tupac in Las Vegas after a fight involving the rapper's entourage and Davis's nephew.
It's Fox's Kristen Goodwin reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 74 degrees with mostly clear skies. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a couple of minutes. A federal appeals court ruling out of the Seventh Circuit could have ripple effects in Northwest Florida cases involving AI-generated child sexual abuse material. The court ruled that possessing AI-generated CSAM is illegal. is legal as long as it stays in the home, citing First Amendment protections and past Supreme Court decisions. That ruling directly applies in Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, but as a federal decision that could be cited in motions locally.
The courts in this case got it wrong. I realize that this is an emerging level of technology. You know, everything changes, but the courts have to keep up. And in this case, they failed.
And that is PPD Chief Eric Winstrom speaking with Channel 3 about the ruling. Now, right now, possessing, creating, or sharing AI-generated child sexual abuse material remains illegal under Florida law. But that ruling, again, from the Seventh Circuit, could be used locally in a motion to dismiss a possession charge. Well, the Milton Library closed yesterday to make some improvements. They'll be installing new flooring and making other improvements as well. All programs have been canceled, and the book drop will also be unavailable during that closure. Patrons are encouraged to visit other library locations in the meantime. President Trump has called for reworking major systems on the Navy's newest aircraft carrier class, the USS Gerald R. Ford, including replacing its electromagnetic catapult system. Congressman Jimmy Patronis says the demand really isn't as extreme as it sounds when you look at what went wrong.
The class, next generation aircraft carrier, has so many amazing built-in characteristics. I mean, it's got thousands of less sailors on it, so the overall cost over 50 years is much less. But, you know, here, this is where, you know, some of the technology deployed with it, and the first time it's really been put on a significant stress test, shows where it's got some real deficiencies.
The Ford's electromagnetic launch and recovery systems have faced documented reliability problems since the carrier entered service, although Navy officials have said those systems have improved in recent years. Well, the Pensacola Interstate Fair has unveiled its entertainment lineup for this year's 11-day run. That'll be October 22nd through November 1st. Kicking things off is, of course, our sister station, Cat Country 98.7's Big Lip Sync Battle Finals. That'll feature 12 local acts competing for the title this year. Headliners throughout the fair include the band Perry, Hunter Hayes, Lauren Elena, and country rap duo The Lax, along with tribute acts honoring the Temptations and the Bee Gees. 534 News Radio. Let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to have a small chance of rain today, 30% chance of a few pop-up showers. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with a high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Wednesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 92 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 75 degrees, your next news in 30 minutes. And breaking news, anytime it happens, this is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. OpenAI and Microsoft both indicated that they were suffering from outages for key products yesterday, though there were no reports that the outages were connected. OpenAI's ChatGPT work had been experiencing elevated errors and latency for roughly 3 hours. The company said on its status page that it's continuing to work on implementing a mitigation. The FTC has sued Amazon, alleging the e-commerce giant, quote, secretly and systematically overcharged advertisers on its platform by manipulating its pricing and auction systems. The lawsuit, which was joined by 22 state attorneys general, argues that Amazon may have earned more than $20 billion from the hidden surcharges. And we've got new tech from Hugging Face's French subsidiary Pollen Robotics, according to CNBC. It's called the Micro Duck, and it is a programmable robot shaped like a duck that contains its own sensors, motors, and on-device computing power. Futures are lower this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after, more points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days, insured by NCUA.
Hi, folks. Fred Jury, owner of West Florida Vacuums, asking you to tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30, when I will be on the show discussing how West Florida Vacuums can assist you with vacuum repairs and purchases. If you can't catch the show, please call us at 448-994-0195 or visit westfloridavacuums.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
you think about it, we have a Gulf and we have a lake. Now all we need is an ocean. So maybe we'll have to change the name of the Atlantic and or the Pacific. Maybe we'll change them both.
Good grief. All right, well, here we go. This is a conversation I really don't want to have, but, you know, I really like Jimmy Patronis. We get along well. I think of us as friends. But I got to be the journalist because, come on, man. You're filing the bill to rename Lake Ontario to Lake America. Why, Jimmy, why?
A lot of this, at least in my opinion, is I think it's important to give the president as much leverage as possible in negotiations. So, look, I think there's things that he does that he throws out. Let's see if it sticks to the wall. But you know what? When he does it, no matter what, there's going to be those that react in a way that is going to be in the favor of what the end game that the president is trying to get. In this particular case, it's just hitting a reset button on the tariff related economics between us and Canada. So, again, I think it's important when the president has something that he's trying to negotiate. There's a lot of under the surface things aren't being discussed. The biggest one is steel between us and Canada. With what the president has done, it has really helped U.S. productivity with steel. And to me, those are real types of jobs that we are fighting to keep in our country as opposed to export them. So, again, I'm playing a supporting role, at least attempting to help them in his negotiations.
Okay, but how is us in a seemingly super petty, doesn't seem to have any impact on Canada, renaming for Google Maps purposes on our side of the water when we look at it on Google Maps? How does that create leverage for us with Canada? All the other stuff, I'm with you. I'm totally with you, and I want to give the president as much leverage as possible.
What are we doing right now? We're talking about it, okay? But you know what they're doing in Canada? They're talking about it. It's allowing that bubbling up of questions, of anger, of interest, of concern, of negotiating. It's just part of creating a noise to help create an ultimate reaction. Again, it's how this president operates. I like the way he operates. I like what he uses leverage in order to win for the American public. That's exactly what he's done. He has done something to just drive Canadians crazy. And if they're wearing out their leadership, then ultimately that's helping the president's negotiations, in my opinion.
All right, let's talk about Jelly Roll. He goes on Kimmel. He makes some jokes about the president. He makes jokes about the president, which is what Jimmy Kimmel would have done if he'd have been there. And your response is, I don't want Jelly Roll in Florida. He's not welcome on I-10. In my mind, somebody making jokes about the president is right in the center of the First Amendment, and I am perfectly fine with having people disagree with me, make jokes about the people that I like, about the people that about me, about you. It sounds like you're advocating for allowing people to come into Florida based on viewpoint, which I'm sure you don't actually believe in. So explain.
So we've already forgotten so quickly about what happened with the Dixie Chicks when they attacked President Bush. Remember people piling up Dixie Chick CDs and driving over them with their cars? This is no different. This is Jelly Roll trying to cater to some Hollywood elitist crowd. He forgets where his listener base is. It's the Bible Belt. Here, this guy, you know, snuggles all over the president at the fight just a few months ago. You know, wants to be Mr. Cool Kid, but he wants to go. He wants to have his cake and eat it too. So, you know, go ahead and do what you want to do. I don't need Jelly Roll music on my device. And he comes out and he wants to triple down, say, "Whoa, you want to delete your music?" And that's what you're seeing people do all over social media, is they're going and deleting Jelly Roll's music off their playlist. So again, look, it's no different. He made a business decision. His business decision was to trash the president. And in this part of the world, in my opinion, the president is still respected, revered, and appreciated. And I think he just totally misjudged and he decided to triple down. Well, go right ahead. I guarantee you the Southeast United States buys more country music than the West Coast does.
And as far as Dixie Chicks go, by the way, I thought the Dixie Chicks was unique because it was on foreign soil criticizing a president back home during war, if I remember correctly. And now we're during war, too, but... as far as a business decision, agreed. It was dumb of him,
he's
but
dumb.
But again, what bothered me about the tweet was it sounded like based on viewpoint is whether you're welcome in Florida or not, which again, you're perfectly free to say whatever you want to say. I'm free to criticize you for criticizing Jelly Roll for criticizing the president, right? So,
of course. But I do think he had a misjudging calculation. And I think there's those out here in Northwest Florida, and not just me, that feel this way. I bet you there's more that have frustration with Jelly Roll than those that appreciate what he did.
No, I think that's probably accurate. Based on the likely demographic of the consumers of his music, you know, it's probably disproportionately conservative. And so, you know, is it a good business decision or not? Right. I mean, that I think that's a fair observation.
And that's why I feel like the folks that I represent in the state.
One of the things that you and I have talked a lot about is social media. Meta comes out with this big settlement. Well, seems big, you know, $12 billion up to $17 billion if other social media companies will self-restrain in similar ways that they want to say they will with regards to kids. It seems like a big number, but it is over time. My question for you is when I read the details of what they want to do, I feel like it's reading the notes from a mass murderer on, you know, oh, you know, give me these rules and I won't be able to commit my murders anymore, when any rules written by the mass murderer are not going to be as robust as we as a society want them to be. And by analogy, you know, Facebook and Meta, they're mass murderers when it comes to our kids in terms of what they're doing and what they're harming and so forth. So what's your take on this settlement?
I think the take is at least them. I think the biggest takeaway is them admitting that they have got a problem, okay? They're admitting, and otherwise they wouldn't be offering up these timeout solutions, these blocking the clocks, you know, the lack of touch. Okay, it's obvious they know they've got a problem. But you know what? They still haven't gone to get treatment, okay? So now they're trying to do their own self-medication, saying, well, we're gonna fine ourselves or we'll agree to a settlement, essentially fining themselves, you know, $1.8 billion, whatever, over 10 years. Dude, that's $180 million a year. That's like smaller than the Escambia County budget. It's stupid. Mm. Okay? So, I mean, this is where they're trying to figure. I feel like we're going to have a major restructuring. And that's why I say the easiest way, just give it a Section 230. I was with a member of Congress of all persons, a Democratic member for California this week. He came to me about Section 230 bill. This is something that crosses all party lines because we all care about our kids. He loves the bill, and it's nice and simple. Repeal 230, and you know what? They'll have to be responsible for the content they're pushing out. They'll have to be responsible for when they try to be predators on our kids at 2 o'clock in the morning with push notifications that keep our kids up all night, that don't have them prepared for the next day at school because they've been wired looking at their devices. Don't get me started. But what Meta did, yeah, thank you for at least admitting you've got a problem, but we've got a lot more work to do.
And this is one of those cases, you know, I've been pretty critical of James Uthmeyer, our attorney general, but this is a case where I think I actually side with him where, you know, he said, I don't want your settlement money. I want to get a solution. I want to take you to court. I think we can get a lot more out of you and probably get better results because, you know, it's like when the cops, you know, come with us, sir. No, come with us, sir. No, hands on. Oh, okay. Now I'll come. Nope. Too late. Too late. No, we're past that. And you know, you're going in the car and it's going to be with cuffs.
And I don't want their money. You know what? Just change your policy.
Right. Right.
You've got a product and a content that people enjoy. It makes people's lives sometimes a lot easier just because of the things they're able to find out, because your content sometimes helps it with DIYs. You name it. Just don't be predators. Don't be knuckleheads. And that's what they're doing. They're being predatory knuckleheads. All they're thinking about is the greed of their bottom line, because their devices and the algorithms are so sticky, our kids can't resist it. It's a digital fentanyl.
The Ford class being re-engineered. President Trump has basically said you got to get rid of the electromagnetic propulsion system that they use on the catapults and go back to the old system of steam. The Ford was the first one to be built with this new system, and it definitely did have problems in the beginning. My understanding is that it's actually been worked out pretty effectively. And I mean, I could be wrong, but that's the way I understand it. You know, he wants to move the superstructure from its rearward orientation now to being more like what we think of on the Nimitz class. Again, my understanding is, A, that was done for reasons to create flight space on the flight deck, but also, B, the massive cost to re-engineer both of those things. And then although apparently not quite official yet, the effort to rename it from the Doris Miller to the Trump, which is, you know, Doris Miller was this black guy who was awarded the Navy Cross for his heroism in Pearl Harbor. These all seem like very bad things, and the cost alone of the Ford class reengineering, I don't understand how this can make sense.
Well, again, I think this goes back to kind of how we started our whole conversation off today, is the president with leverage in responding to a set of circumstances. The Ford class, next generation aircraft carrier, has so many amazing built-in characteristics. I mean, it's got thousands of less sailors on it, so the overall cost over 50 years is much less. But, you know, here, this is where, you know, some of the technology deployed with it, and the first time it's really been put on a significant stress test, shows where it's got some real deficiencies. So it's just kind of just throwing out those type of comments that somebody would say at the damn, you know, at the Waffle House is, my goodness, you know what, we've been building carriers for almost a century, and we can't get this right with the newest class. So I think, again, he's throwing it out there. And what it makes people jump through hoops, it creates an urgency because, hey, the bureaucracy of the Pentagon, get things done over there. It is like there's a true culture that exists that I was here before Donald Trump, and I'm going to be here after Donald Trump. So the only way sometimes he gets a reaction that gets things moving is just basically trying to scrap whole current system, idea, technology for the one that works.
So, but we can agree that the Doris Miller thing is not a good look. Like, if he wants to have the Trump class of battleships, if they ever come to exist, and the first one be named after him, no problem. He made that thing from nothing, again, if it ever comes to be. But don't take away the Black Navy Cross recipient's name and put the Trump's name on there. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not as familiar. I'm familiar with the Doris Miller story. I'm not as familiar about those comments or the context that was brought up. Was that something that President Trump said? Was that something that somebody trying to suck up to President Trump said? Was that a post on the internet that went viral? So that part, I don't know the source.
Gonna wait on it a little bit. Okay. All right. And last thing, $40 trillion. What the heck is $40 trillion? Like, nobody knows what $40 trillion means, except that our GDP is only $32 trillion.
Correct.
Neither party has ever yet really been willing to do anything about this. Does it matter? And are we going to do anything?
No, it does matter. It does matter. I think there's definitely inside the White House and the administration, to a certain degree, a lot of America. You go and you reflect on how the prosperity was of our country back in, you know, winter of 2019 and spring of 2024, COVID hit. I mean, I think we're still in such a struggle. We were on the right path then. Then you had this crazy stuff, COVID, rhyme or reason, wherever you think it came from. It destroyed small businesses. It put people out of work. It changed the culture of the workforce. I think the president is trying to force jumpstart of the economy to try to get money back into people's pockets in order to get us back into that battle rhythm of what we were. I think, you know, he's maybe trying to do something that is going to be hard to accomplish when he only has one term available to him. And it may be a little bit of a hoe before we see those type of dollars repatriating back into the revenues and coffers of the federal government to exchange, you know, the dynamics of our spending.
You know, I feel like a lot of times you and I are, it's a very friendly conversation. I feel like this is an unfriendly one because we're going to end on the worst note possible. You ready?
Go ahead.
FSU.
You've been a rare. I tell you, I think you've gotten more liberal on this call than I've ever done. Go ahead. Whatever comes out of your mouth probably won't surprise me. Go ahead.
FSU football.
Oh man, you know, I don't think that the team's still ready for prime time. I know it was an early game this year. You know, we should have beat that team by 30 points.
Yeah.
There was a lot of struggles. Again, this is, to me, is going back to the problems we have with NIL and the portal and our inability to do anything about it. The NCAA is useless. Congress right now, we're being held hostage in Congress to do anything about NIL and the portal because of the state of Texas. The state of Texas likes the status quo. So all you have to do is have a dozen Texas congressmen say, hey, I don't want to change anything regarding NIL, and the status quo stays the same. So now these coaches are being, to me, they're being undermined by these players. Man, I should have considered that offer going to XYZ because I could pick up another $5,000, $1,500, or $500,000, but now I'm stuck with a season at Florida State. So, I mean, I think coaches really are overwhelmed with the environment they're in. And I think it's a no-win situation.
But at least the Argos won their opening game in Division One against the number 16 ranked team in the nation. That was awesome.
The Argos and their win, if you've not looked at their Instagram here, I'm promoting social media, which I hate, but if you go look at their social media game this week that win, it is electrifying. I got chills just you bringing it up at me hearing about it. The Saints coming in, and they're coming in off a win off of UNLV, so it's going to be interesting. That's a big game.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's a great day to be an Argos fan and to be a UWF dad. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, pal. See you.
All right, 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Bands on the Beach, of course, every Tuesday at the Gulfside Pavilion out on Pensacola Beach at 7 o'clock. Not Quite Fab is performing tonight, and always it is a good time. Always it is a good time. If you get locked out of your car, Ace Unlocks can take care of you. They can get you back into your car. But they do so much more than that. You know, I was talking to the owner, Chris Rona, the other day about what they do. And he said, you know, the worst part about my business is my name. And I'm like, but didn't you pick it? He's like, I did back in the day when that's what we did. But they still do it. But now most of their business is cutting new keys for people. You know, you damage, lose, wash, step on, just want a second one, whatever, for your key. And, you know, the modern keys, the laser cut keys with the fobs are very difficult to, you know, you got to program them, you got to cut them just right. They have all that technology that they can do it just like the dealership does it. In fact, cheaper, I know, because I got a Civic key cut there. They'll take care of you. They also do, you know, residential, you know, installing locks, rekeying. If you got a rental or you just want to put in a different kind of lock, they can take care of you for that. Anything related to locks, 24 hours a day, you can call Ace Unlocks at 505-7545 or just stop by the airport by the railroad tracks location. Mention my name, Andrew McKay, and get 10% off anything you order.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Saturday at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can come out with your lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music and the sunset there on beautiful Pensacola Beach every Tuesday at 7. This week, it's Not Quite Fab. That's right, Northwest Florida's premier Beatles tribute band celebrating 25 years of performing your favorite Beatles songs live. Come out to the beach and dance to the Beatles. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Are we connecting, Mr. Kersey?
Good morning, 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you woke up this morning and looked at your weather map, you'd be in for a little bit of a surprise. Not here, but this system over in Texas and Louisiana. I mean, is it tropical storm named yet? I assume it is, but I don't remember what the E is. I haven't checked this morning.
Edward.
To see. Edward is the name of it. Okay. Yes. So that kind of popped up, started in the middle of the Gulf and moved northwest. So, you know, I'm glad it's not us. I'm always glad it's not us. But be praying for the folks over there because, you know, I mean, this was like a 1 to 2 day warning, basically. The ones that pop up in the Gulf are a little scary just because we don't have the big, long lead time. Meanwhile, the remnants of Dolly have been kind of barely shuffling their way across the islands. And as one person said, oh, so Tropical Storm Dolly broke up into a bunch of smaller storms and it's kind of like islands in the stream. Good one. Well done. I'll take that. The Venezuela oil deal is really interesting because the U.S. has something, rough numbers, in the vicinity of 40 billion barrels of proven reserves. Venezuela, meanwhile, has proven reserves of, the number I have in my head, I just had it up a minute ago, and there it is, 300 billion. So they have a lot more. They're number one in the world. You know, Saudis are 260, Iran is 200, Canada is 170. So interestingly, we are at active either kinetic or political or trade conflict with three of the top four oil nations in the world. And President Trump has been, what would you say about Saudi Arabia? Emphatically active at doing deals with them. So four of the top four plus Iraq. It's an interesting pattern if you look at it. And again, the access we have apparently to the oil reserves in Venezuela now will be the formation of this company that the U.S. is going to have a lot of control over. We don't have a national oil company. This will be a Venezuelan corporation or board. 65 billion barrels of oil, which is 1.5 times our total proven reserves. Very interesting deal.
Stream us at newsradio923.com.